It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Late last night, Chairman Grassley's staff releasing a timeline of interviews they've been conducting this week, which include not one, but two separate men that claim that they, not Judge Kavanaugh, had the encounter with Dr. Ford in 1982 that is the basis of Ford's complaint, both going into some detail, one including a written statement, and then the new accusations, a fourth accusation, turns out to be an anonymous allegation sent to Senator Cory Gardner in a letter with no names, claiming that at a bar in 1988, Kavanaugh assaulted a woman when he was drunk. Kavanaugh denying that. There was, for a time, a fifth accuser. That has been debunked. The accuser recanted it. It involved a boat in Rhode Island. But now let's get simply to the hearing. Now, Dr. Ford, as you mentioned, and Kavanaugh will have opening statements in the five-minute rounds of questions. And, of course, Republicans bringing in the veteran sex crimes prosecutor. But we've got an excerpt from Dr. Ford's testimony. We expect her to say, quote, "Brett put his hand over my mouth to stop me from screaming. This is what terrified me the most and has had the most lasting impact on my life. It was hard for me to breathe, and I thought that Brett was accidentally going to kill me." Kavanaugh's attorney, Beth Wilkinson, speaking out about all these accusations, had this to say.
If they thought that these allegations had any merit, they should have come forward before, and there would have been plenty of time to do whatever they want to do. But you have to question the motives when they come forward with the most salacious, most outrageous allegations the day before the hearing.
And in addition to the testimony from Ford and Kavanaugh, guys, pay attention to the evidence. We're going to, of course, see that calendar from 1982 of Judge Kavanaugh, as well as now the lie detector test results of Dr. Ford, her attorney saying that it shows she's telling the truth.
All right, that was Griff Jenkins on Fox and Friends this morning, and that's not even all that's happened. Sandy Rios with you in the morning on AFR Talk, today at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. The proceedings began. Yesterday I found out that the committee room is smaller, which was a request of Christine Ford, which is probably a great blessing, actually, and that there is so much press expected that there will probably only be something like 6 seats available to the public. Also, could you agree, a blessing. We don't need the circus that we had last time. I'm not saying we won't have it, because it seems to me that the nefarious, wicked leftists that are driving the chaos will find a way. And I actually think there may be danger. Yeah, there just may be danger. I told you yesterday about that group in Washington, D.C. that was harassing Ted Cruz and his wife Heidi in the restaurant. And harassing is probably not even strong enough language. And I read a tweet to you from their founder. It's the Antifa group in Washington, D.C. And their founder tweeted out before the election of 2016, "If President Trump somehow should pull this off, or if Donald Trump should somehow pull this off, we should immediately assassinate Michael Pence first. We should assassinate him first." That's what he tweeted. So we're not talking about garden variety differences of opinion. We're talking about dangerous wickedness unleashed with no one seeming to stop them. We saw hints of it in that hearing room when Judge Kavanaugh was in there last time. Remember when that man approached him? Got very close to him and there's so many tragedies. One of his children was killed in one of the tragedies. And so he got right up next to Judge Kavanaugh, which was, from my mind, extremely dangerous. Where were the protectors for him there? So if that happened, you can imagine, even as he walks through the halls of Congress, you know, Congress is not that secure. It just isn't. When you walk through the doors, there are metal detectors, but I have never sensed that it's all that safe. And I also know that members of Congress and their staff cannot carry their guns because you can't have a conceal and carry in Washington, or even carry a gun in Washington, D.C., without extreme reasons, and certainly people in the Capitol can't. So a lot of people who have gun licenses cannot bring their guns to the Capitol. So it's a very dangerous place from my perspective. And so as we watch this unfold, and the Capitol Police are notoriously not on the side of conservatives. I can tell you that. I remember when we used to go to, again, when I was a CWA, and the judicial nominations were a huge thing then, and we were all over that. I used to do a lot of television interviews defending various candidates who'd been nominated by George W. Bush. And I remember going into the Senate chamber, sitting up in the middle, like late night hours. We were the only people, the only delegation there watching the conversation on the floor. And the Capitol Police just kept harassing us. It was just amazing. The way we talked, don't lean over, shh, be quiet, or don't do this. And it was just unbelievable. So I don't have a lot of faith in the Capitol Police. Just telling you, just saying. D.C. really, truly is a swamp. And when you are a conservative, sometimes you feel like you are in hostile, sometimes all the time you feel like you're in hostile territory, whether you're on an elevator or driving a car or parking it, walking down the street. It's honestly, I'm sure maybe visitors who come for their spring breaks don't pick up on that, but those of us that live there certainly do. It's kind of a dangerous place. It truly is. And so Brett Kavanaugh and his family are walking into that today, and it's a dangerous place in more ways than one. I feel like Satan has such a strong hold on the power in Washington, D.C. You can imagine, can't you? And so we need to pray for him and his family. I when I woke up early this morning, that's the first thing that came to my mind, and I thought, you know, Judge Kavanaugh and his wife must be awake too. I bet they are, you know. Can you imagine the grip in their stomach as they think about what this day holds? And so I ask you to join me and others in praying for them today, praying for the senators who must conduct these hearings. Pray for Chuck Grassley that he can have presence of mind and maintain strong control and stay the hand of the evil one. Because the wicked, you know, Satan is the father of lies. He's also, he loves confusion, whereas our God is the author of order, you know, hanging the stars in space and ordering the planets and the weather and the seasons. Satan is the opposite. He loves chaos. He loves to divide. And so you can see his hand. He loves violence. He loves death. You can see his hand on so much of this. And so we need to pray that God would send his spirit to be present in that room, because you know there'll be Christians in that hearing room that will be praying. And we just pray that God's spirit will fill that room and somehow shut up the wicked and tap them down and stay their hand. That's my prayer this morning. So what's happened? Well, I'm going to talk to you about a few other things, because I'm going to get to all of, as much as I can, of the details of what's happening. The hearing starts at 10. There are new developments. You heard Griff describe them a few minutes ago. There are now 5 accusers. You know, did I not say this to you? I certainly said it. I thought it was on the air, but I said it to people that I know. We worked together. When Christine Ford came forward, you think this is the only one? You really think this is, you're going to handle this, you're going to set a hearing and set a time, you're going to all of this trouble to accommodate her, and you're going to bend over backwards, and then guess what? There's going to be another, and another, and then another, and then another. And that's the way it works. That's what they did with Judge Moore. We all saw it, and those of us that know the character of that man were appalled. But no one in Washington, including Republicans, Mitch McConnell was glad to see him crash and burn, and Fox News was glad to pile on. They showed, how many times did you see that picture of Judge Moore riding his horse to the polling place, looking from the perspective of the sophisticated media like an idiot? Like riding a horse with a cowboy hat is, you know, just so foolish. To their minds, it was, and so they played it over and over again to make him look ridiculous. But if you've ever been around Judge Moore, he's a very, very bright, articulate man, and actually very warm, but very professional. He's not the man that they made him out to be, but they were happy to let him be destroyed. Now this is happening to Brett Kavanaugh. And who could be happy to see this? I think, you know, each of us that certainly know God, the injustice of it just cries out. And I think, actually, when I was watching media interviews, like from CNN and other places, I honestly felt that many of the anchors were pretty distasteful about all this too. That part of them were just thinking, oh, I don't know. This is just, they didn't say it, but I think they thought it. And we're going to play a couple of excerpts from things. There aren't going to be a lot of clips this morning because I have so much to tell you. I want to talk about some other things before we jump into that, though. President Trump, of course, has been in New York this week, and he did a 90-minute speech last night answering questions. And we won't be able to get into that much, so I want to give you highlights because I played yesterday for you his statement about the UN Committee on Human Rights and what a ridiculous thing it was, and how our principles in America will be love of our country. It will be patriotism, and we will protect, and we don't accept any other authority except the authority of our Constitution and our people and our country and our laws and lands. And I mentioned to you that Nikki Haley and John Bolton and Mike Pence and Sarah Huckabee Sanders were sitting there in a cluster, and the screenshot went over to them, and they looked so proud and happy. Honestly, it was a real moment because we don't often see that. So the president really knocked it out of the ballpark at the UN. He put Iran in their place, and Rouhani had a fit on the floor, you know, because really draconian sanctions are getting ready to set in Iran, and it could very likely topple the regime. Now, the president has not said that's his purpose, but that will be the net result of it. So Rouhani is quite upset about this. And, of course, Iran made out like bandits, took our money, which Barack Obama willingly gave them, and has done nothing but wickedness with that money, whether it was IEDs, and this is before the money, but IEDs killing and maiming our soldiers when they're fighting overseas. And yet Barack Obama, knowing that, built them up even more while they were developing nuclear weapons. So President Trump, that's the only thing the president has accomplished by cutting them off at the knees and refusing to cooperate with him in any way. That's a champion in my mind. Then there's Cuba, then there's China. You should have sure heard his interactions about China. Quite frankly, he said China is trying to interfere with 2018 midterms because they hate what I'm doing and they want to stop me. This comports with what we're hearing about what's going on in China. Missionaries being kicked out, Christians, the whip is coming down. House churches being raided again. There's been a certain amount of freedom in the last couple of decades, maybe three decades. And now they're clamping down. This comports with they're upset because their economy is shrinking. They had thrived under past leadership, including Republican leadership, because it was free trade, you see, just free trade. It didn't matter if it hurt this country. It was free trade, and it made businessmen, many of them, very, very wealthy. That is not what capitalism is supposed to be about. And yet that became the Bible of many business people. Trust me, I had a lot of conversations about that before President Trump came on the scene to talk about that we need to be, America's interest should come first. And we shouldn't be selling our interests down and our people's interest and their jobs and their futures in order to enrich ourselves and also provide cheap goods and services, which is what we have had. Prices are going to go up here at home on things. We won't be able to accumulate as much stuff, but our people will be working. Our factories will be buzzing, and we will be a much healthier place because of what Donald Trump is doing. So he landed on China pretty heavily. He also sort of snubbed Trudeau and the Canadians, which I think is very interesting. If you've dealt with the Canadians, which I have a lot, they can be very arrogant. They need NAFTA, and they've had incredibly high tariffs, which has caused their country to prosper at our expense. President Trump isn't going to allow that anymore, and so very interesting that he snubbed Justin Trudeau at the UN. So we'll see what's going to happen with that. But I just wanted you to know what the president has been doing this week. He is not meeting with Rod Rosenstein today. As far as I know, I think that's been canceled. And so all eyes are on that hearing room at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time this morning. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
80% of the time, an abortion-minded mother who views an ultrasound or sonogram of her baby will choose life. Here's the story of Candace.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
There are currently preborn centers which do not have an ultrasound machine. Would you sponsor a machine today? Dial pound 250 and say keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
New archaeological find supports the Bible. This is Ken Ham, and our popular Noah's Ark attraction is located in northern Kentucky. Archaeologists in Jerusalem published an exciting discovery earlier this year. They uncovered a clay seal bearing a familiar name, Isaiah. Now, they can't prove this seal came from the biblical prophet Isaiah, but they think it could be. And discovered nearby was a seal from King Hezekiah, one of the four kings who reigned while Isaiah was prophesying. Of course, we don't need archaeology to prove Isaiah or any other biblical figure. It's great to see a potential confirmation of what the Bible says. But we don't believe the Bible because of archaeology. We believe the Bible because it's God's word. Archaeology confirms what we know to be true.
Plan your visit to the Ark Encounter when you go to AnswersRadio.com and discover more about the truth of God's Word by visiting our website at AnswersRadio.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Peter Koh, and I'm a business major, and this is my junior year at the college. What I love about the athletics here at Truett McConnell University is the coaches and their side of trying to teach sports from a biblical mindset with sportsmanship involved, and it really changes the way that you pursue the game, not just passionately doing it for other people, but also for yourself and to glorify God in that, which is completely different from most other schools.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
When Hurricane Florence threatened the Carolina coastline, many residents took off for higher ground, including nearly 100 senior citizens from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, all residents of a retirement home, ordered to leave town. Their caravan included buses and a U-Haul truck filled with medications and wheelchairs and walkers. They wound up at a hotel in Fairburn, Georgia, a place well known for its southern hospitality. When the seniors arrived at the local hotel, they were greeted with a letter from the town's police department. The officers offered a free shuttle service to take folks to the grocery store or the pharmacy or church or wherever they might need to go, a helping hand to the senior saints. The folks who run the senior living home have been overwhelmed by the tender mercies of the townsfolk. Fairburn, Georgia, a safe harbor in the storm. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
They've destroyed a man's reputation, and they want to destroy it even more. And I think people are going to see that in the midterms, what they've done to this family, what they've done to these children, these beautiful children of his, and what they've done to his wife. And they know it's a big, fat con job. And they go into a room, and I guarantee you, they left. 36 years, there's no charge. All of a sudden, the hearings are over and the rumors start coming out. And then you have this other con artist, Avenatti, come out with another beauty today. This is just a game that they're playing. It's a con game. It's at the highest level. We're talking about the United States Supreme Court. You know, believe it or not, I'm going to see what's said. So it's possible that they will be convincing. I can always be convinced. I have to hear it.
All right. That's the president in the press conference following. Well, that was pretty much his press conference was an hour and 30 minutes. He didn't actually. His statement wasn't that long to start it. It was pretty interesting. And I thought as he was speaking, I thought, you know, it's funny. They talk about how dumb he is, how he doesn't get things. And it's just that in itself is just so ridiculous. The amount of information he's able to hold in his mind, addressing, you know, I don't know how many countries in the questions, whether it was the Kurds, the Chinese, the Iranians, the Japanese, The Canadians, that's all I can remember right now, and the details of the plans and the interactions. Just everything that he's handling, it's like he's a quirky genius. And I find that, I have found that, not that I've known a lot of really wealthy people, but I've known some. And I'm not talking about millionaires. I'm talking about really wealthy people tend to be sort of quirky. They do. They just do. I'm sure there may be exceptions to that. I don't know if it's what came first, the chicken or the egg, but you know, whether they're quirky and therefore they become, you know, billionaires, or whether they become billionaires and because of the way they're isolated and don't have normal experiences, maybe they become quirky. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, that's not unusual. So the president said what he did. I just find it refreshing. I think the amazing thing is that he still can maintain like that everyman perspective in spite of his wealth and the things that have happened to him in his life and the way he's been treated and isolated, you know, as a king, really, as a prince and then a king. I'm talking about metaphorically, of course, because of his success, his father and all of that. And yet he understands every man. He relates to the worker more than he does to the elite in D.C. I think that's amazing. And so when he speaks common sense, I just love it. It washes over me, and I think it does you too. We, regardless of the rough spots in his life and his language and whatever else, his past, he speaks the truth, and that's just gratifying. It's like water on a thirsty, dry, parched ground, because we haven't, heaven knows we have so little of it. Now, I'm going to talk about Christine Ford's allegations a little bit later, some of the developments on that, but I want to go into this new set of accusers this morning and the new developments. Christine Ford, of course, is the subject of the hearing this morning. But you know that I cannot think of a nice adjective to describe the Democratic senators on that committee. I just think they disgraced themselves last time. Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Blumenthal, Dianne Feinstein. It's just disgraceful. It is disgraceful. It's not even subtle. And so the accusations keep coming. Now, we have Christine Ford was first, and I'll get to her last, actually. Then we had, Ramirez, who said it took her, 6 days to make sure that she wasn't sure it was Kavanaugh before the 6 days, but she decided after meeting with her attorney for 6 days that she could actually remember, and now she was sure it was Brett Kavanaugh who exposed himself to her. And then we have the Avenatti charges that he came out on Sunday night, Michael Avenatti, saying that he had this other woman. It was so salacious, and she was credible, and he was going to be bringing it out. Well, the Judiciary Committee, actually, now we know, asked Michael Avenatti 6 to 10 minutes after he tweeted on Sunday that he had a new accuser. They have asked him for evidence 6 different times. Can we please talk to your client? Let us, you know, talk to her and see about this. So he refused. And last night, on the eve of the hearing today, of course, he released details. And his client's name is Julie Swetnick. Her allegations get even worse. I'll just read this from National Review. Julie Swetnick alleges that Kavanaugh routinely sexually assaulted girls at parties in high school and was present while she was gang-raped at one such gathering. While she does not accuse Kavanaugh directly of participating in gang rape, she claims to have seen him waiting in line outside a bedroom where she believed a gang rape was taking place. And the allegation is that he cooperated with others, that this was commonly known, that they would drug these girls and do what I just said. So now we're learning about Julie Swetnick. It doesn't take long if she didn't scrub her social media like Christine Ford did. This is what we know. Julie Swetnick has already filed one sexual harassment lawsuit, and she was represented in that lawsuit by guess who? By Deborah Katz, the socialist activist radical who was seen wearing that T-shirt with a fist at an anti-Trump rally. Deborah Katz, who's representing, guess who, Christine Ford. So Julie Swetnick had filed a sexual harassment lawsuit represented by Deborah Katz's law firm. She had filed a defamation suit. There was a defamation suit filed against her in Oregon. There was a restraining order filed against her by her ex-boyfriend in Florida. And there were two tax liens filed against her for not paying her taxes which amounted to over $100,000. By the way, she's been a federal employee for the IRS. So, and then six court cases she's been involved in Maryland that that she was party to. So let me give you a little bit more information. Roughly a decade ago, Ms. Swetnick was involved in a dispute with her former employer, New York Life Insurance, over a sexual harassment claim she filed. The complaint, it was Deborah Katz who represented her in that complaint against the firm. Now, here is the harassment lawsuit. Swetnick's ex-boyfriend says, "I have a lot of facts, evidence that what she's saying is not true at all." According to it's Richard Vinici, he said Swetnick threatened him after they broke up and even after he got married to his current wife and had a child. "Right after I broke up with her, she was threatening my family, threatening my wife, and threatening to do harm to my baby." He said that in a telephone interview with Politico. "I know a lot about her. She is not credible at all, not at all." By the way, Vinici is 63. He's a registered Democrat. And he made it clear he did not believe her story. She was sued by an Oregon company for defamation by the HR director. The two liens against her taxes. She was paid her taxes by $100,000. And then she's been in those six court cases. So that gives you an idea of her background. No one has corroborated her story. Everyone that she's asked has come public, and not everyone, but many people that she's asked have come public and said, we don't know anything about that. We never heard about any kind of gang rapes, nothing like what she's describing. By the way, according to the records, she is older than Kavanaugh and would have graduated something like 3 years earlier than when this alleged incident happened. So she was a college girl hanging out with high school parties. I don't know, but that's what it would be. So now then, Dianne Feinstein, Richard Durbin, Amy Klobuchar, Richard Blumenthal, Cory Booker, Patrick Leahy, Sheldon Whitehouse, Christopher Coons, Mazie Hirono, and Kamala Harris have all sent a letter to Charles Grassley as of yesterday. Don't have the date, the time on it, but it was yesterday. "In light of the shocking new allegations detailed by Julie Swetnick in a sworn affidavit, we write to request that the committee vote on Brett Kavanaugh be immediately canceled, and that you support the reopening of the FBI investigation to examine all of the allegations against Kavanaugh or withdrawal of his nomination." All right, so that's the response. That's what they're trying to do. They want to stop this hearing. They want to stop Brett Kavanaugh or any conservatives from serving on the bench. That's the end game. And they don't care who they destroy, who they hurt. In fact, their preference, it seems to me, to destroy people thoroughly. Again, I think of Judge Moore. They have so thoroughly destroyed his reputation. A man with decades of just incredible service, honorable, a man who was elected by the people of Alabama, I think it was plus 90% when he ran for Supreme Court Justice. Because they knew him. It's not that big a state. They knew who he was. They knew what he was all about. And now he's a pedophile, child molester. This is what they do. They thoroughly destroy, and that's what they want to do with Judge Kavanaugh. Now a new accuser comes forward, and this is last night. Well, at least it's breaking. I don't know when exactly this happened, but an anonymous letter was sent to Senator Cory Gardner. And so, let me just say, from someone inside the Senate, almost every day our Senate office gets letters with accusations that the CIA is listening to the author's thoughts, that Barack Obama assaulted them, that Hillary stole money from their bank accounts. And so, I can tell you from my husband's FBI experience, he would tell me the kinds of reports they would get and how bizarre, and they'd have to take turns sitting at the line, the FBI line, to take these calls. So it's not uncommon to get incredible accusations, and most of them are not true. Occasionally you'll get something that's true, but most of them, you can kind of see they're kind of outrageous. I used to get these calls when I was on radio. But anyway, so here's this letter. I mean, honestly, it's written in like print on what looks to be a legal pad, and this is just bizarre. "Dear Senator Grassley et al., The current situation regarding the accusations made by Dr. Ford against Brett Kavanaugh have prompted me to write you today. I've moved on with my life since he forced himself on me as well. The times are so different, and I didn't expect to be taken seriously, embarrass my family, be believed at all. I was at a party with a friend. I had been drinking. She left with another boy, leaving me to find my own way home. Kavanaugh and a friend offered me a ride home. I don't know the other boy's name. I was in his car to go home. His friend was behind me in the back seat. Kavanaugh kissed me forcefully. Okay, it goes on. No, I yelled at him. This is the way it's written. It's like a seventh grade theme, eighth grade maybe theme paper to me. And the person who signs this signs it Jane Doe and says, I'm a teacher. I have an education. I'm not sure based on this handwritten letter. I mean, I'm not sure where you graduated. I have credibility. Just because something happens a long time ago, because a rape victim doesn't want to personally come forward, does not mean something can't be true. Exclamation point. And the accusations I didn't get into because they're so gross. They're worse. They're more graphic, and they're just so sickening, honestly. And, you know, Judge Kavanaugh yesterday, I don't know if it was in response to this letter, he said it's just the Twilight Zone. It is just the Twilight Zone, and this is so degrading to this process. And I agree. And let me go on record right now as telling you, I believe that the type, the printing here looks very masculine to me. And just the way it's stated does not sound like a Jane Doe to me. Sounds more like a John. And so I'm just telling you, that's a hunch. That's the only hunch. I have nothing to hang that on. But that's the kind of things that are coming in. So then we have there are lots of other things to tell you. So I'm going to just jump in. I think there was one other allegation, but I never did exactly hear who that was. I don't think a name was given, and I think they are not considering that one. So I can't say anything about what that is. But you can see how this works, and you can bet there'll be more today. And you can bet that those dignified senators on the left will be bringing up all of these accusations happily to embarrass and mortify Judge Kavanaugh. I just dread it. Honestly, I do. I dread it. And so now here are some other interesting wrinkles. Dear Chairman Grassley and ranking members, I write in response to a phone call I received this evening from Mike Davis, Chief Nominations Counsel for the committee. In our phone call, Mr. Davis read to me an anonymous letter sent to Colorado Senator Cory Gardner, dated September 22nd. I believe that's the letter I just read you. I'm pretty sure that's the letter. It's anonymous, Jane Doe. Mr. Davis asked me whether I dated Brett Kavanaugh in 1998 and whether he ever shoved me against a wall. He emailed me the attached letter and asked me to provide immediate response. As I informed Mr. Davis, I dated Brett Kavanaugh in 1998. To the extent the attached letter is referring to me as the friend who was dating him, the allegations it makes are both offensive and absurd. At no time did Brett Kavanaugh ever shove me against a wall, including in an aggressive and sexual manner. When we dated, Brett always treated me with the utmost respect, and we remain friends to this day. I've never observed, nor am I aware of, Brett acting in a physically inappropriate or aggressive manner toward anyone. That's signed by Dabney Friedrich. All right, so that's come out. I want to get to Ford in the last segment. Let me see. There are lots of pieces of information coming out. I find this really interesting. Doug McElway, you know, from Fox, weighed in on part of this. Deborah Katz, again, the socialist power fist-wearing T-shirt attorney who's representing Christine Ford. Doug McElway writes this. Deborah Katz, in the mid-1990s, I was anchoring an NBC in D.C. She sent a fax to us alerting us to a racial discrimination suit she was filing against Bank of America. It was late Friday afternoon. I read the suit. It was incredibly weak, smelled of a shakedown. Went to her office with camera, got mic'd up. I told her it smelled of a shakedown, and I was familiar with the technique. Too late, a Friday accusation for deep-pocketed organizations to respond and stew over the weekend. Proly result in a settlement, sparing her the hard work of trial preparation. She then ripped the mic off, called my lefty news director, who then came to me, pulled me off the story. It's riveted in my memory. Always thought she was sleazy. I guess my news director was too. That was Doug McElway about Deborah Katz.
But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. James 1:22. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. This scripture underscores the harrowing reality that permeates the life of many who profess to be Christians. The blessing of being a Christ follower comes not only from hearing God's word, but obeying it. James continues, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and perseveres, being not a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing."
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. It is time for the foolish, mindless, and destructive Brett Kavanaugh charade to come to an end. Senator Grassley has been played by Kavanaugh's adversaries and has turned this into a three-ring circus with anyone, literally anyone, with a salacious, unverified, uncorroborated accusation against Kavanaugh allowed to get their 15 minutes of fame. Grassley and the Republicans should be utterly ashamed of themselves for playing into the hands of the devil whose name means slanderer or accuser. It is inexcusably destroying the peace and equilibrium of the Kavanaugh family and exposing his name and character to one slanderous and false allegation after another. We have left the realm of sanity and are now in the land of lunacy. It is time to hold the hearing and have the vote.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Good news. You are not stuck with your health care plan. Really, you have a choice, and it's a great one. It's called MediShare, and if you've heard about it and wondered what exactly it is, it's a way that people share their health care bills, and these are people who have a common faith, who want to be part of something beautiful that not only meets their health care needs, but the needs of others, too. And it's people who love to save money, big time. MediShare members typically save $500 a month per family on their healthcare costs. That is a life changer for people. So this could be for you. Maybe it's what you've been looking for, a way to pay healthcare bills that's not only very smart financially, but it's even profound. MediShare is a nonprofit with 400,000 members nationwide who pray for and share with each other. So yes, you're not stuck. There's another way, and it could save you a lot. Hit *345 to find out how much you can save on your health care. Message and data rates may apply. That's *345.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. In a joint press appearance at the UN yesterday, President Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu extolled the strong partnership they have forged. As evidence, they cited in particular Mr. Trump's courageous decision to relocate the U.S. embassy to Israel's capital, Jerusalem. Fortunately for both nations, the two leaders have resuscitated this strategic relationship from the damage done to it during the Obama years just in time to contend with the threat they face from a jihadist and incipiently nuclear-armed Iran. An ominous pall was cast over the fellowship, however, when President Trump expressed enthusiasm for a Palestinian state and a big concession from Israel to reciprocate for his moving the embassy. The only hope for a real and enduring peace and grounds for concessions by Israelis is if their enemies demonstrably and irreversibly abandon any ambition to destroy the Jewish state. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
You know, I think I do know what the fifth accusation was. Sandy Rios, back with you. I was expecting it to be a woman, but I think it's actually this story. It's a Rhode Island man who called, He called Sheldon Whitehouse, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, and claimed that Brett Kavanaugh and Mark Judge drunkenly sexually assaulted one of his friends. So he called to make this report. And then putting it together, when the investigators try to investigate this, they realize that this guy is, he didn't give his name, but they figured out from his Twitter account, putting some facts together, that his name actually was Jeffrey Catalan. And then he's a complete never-Trumper. And he has tweeted things like, "Dear Pentagon, please save my country from the parasite that occupies the White House? Or are you waiting until the Russians parachute in like in Red Dawn? Please help. So now that he was outed, people began to respond to his Twitter account, and now he's coming out saying he apologizes. He made a mistake. So that was the fifth, I believe, accusation. He apologized. He made a mistake. Now, here's the other thing. You have heard this, I think. If you haven't, I could have led with this, but I didn't. I think Griff Jenkins said this. Two men now have come forward to say that they think that Christine Ford might have been mistaken, might have mistaken them for Brett Kavanaugh because they both had some sort of encounter with her. Isn't this an interesting twist? So this is Fox News report. On Wednesday evening, Judiciary Committee Republicans revealed that on Monday they conducted their first interview with a man who believes he, not Judge Kavanaugh, had the encounter with Dr. Ford in 1982. And they think that's the basis of his complaint. On Wednesday, Republicans said they received a more in-depth written statement from the man interviewed twice previously who believes he, not Judge Kavanaugh, had the encounter in question with Dr. Ford. GOP investigators also spoke on the phone with another man making a similar claim. Now, Christine Ford has said previously that there's zero chance she would have confused Kavanaugh for anyone else. But no one has corroborated her story. They have actually interviewed, I believe, every single person that she mentioned was at the party. Maybe there was one she didn't remember, and they have all been asked and have all said they don't remember the party and they did not witness the event. But this has an interesting twist because Christine Ford has changed her story. Her statement initially to Chairman Grassley, her account or her letter to the Washington Post, said, I think it was that her and four others at the party. And then later she changes it to say there were another girl there. And it's been changed three different times. And remember her therapist that she claims was the first person she spoke to about this in 2012 has her notes vary on Christine Ford's details. So the details keep changing. And now suddenly she has a friend that she's identified named Leland Ingham, who she said they are still friends. I believe, as I understand it, Leland Ingham has sort of, it's very confusing. I have heard that Leland Ingham has released a statement denying knowing Kavanaugh or having information about this alleged assault. But then I think I heard, okay, so I'm telling you, think with big underlining. I think I heard that this Leland Ingham is going to be there today. So I might be wrong about that, but that's, I'm just telling you. So in terms of the polygraph that Christine Ford took, that's the other problem. The statement she gave to the retired FBI polygrapher does not comport with the statement she gave to the committee in terms of the number of people there and who they were. So as I said, it's been changed three times, and so there's some, it's a little bit of a problem. So this will be interesting today. I don't have any idea. You know, there's going to be, as you know, the Republicans have hired Rachel Mitchell, who is an expert. She's an experienced sex crimes prosecutor from Arizona. And they're sort of turning it over to her to question Christine Ford and then Judge Kavanaugh. So that's going to be taking place. Now, more information. Last night, Chris Cuomo was interviewing Senator Kirsten Gillibrand from New York. And as you know, none of the, except for the Joe Manchin, Joe Donnelly, John Tester, and I'm not sure who else, but it's the Democrats running in states that President Trump carried in 2016. All of the Democrats, certainly on the committee, are saying they're going to vote against Judge Kavanaugh. And I just think it would be interesting for you to hear Chris Cuomo asking Kirsten Gillibrand about that. Let's listen.
You wrote a letter to the president saying withdraw the nomination.
Yes.
The criticism? Too soon, Senator. You haven't heard a word of testimony yet. Why ask to have the nomination withdrawn? Maybe you'll find Kavanaugh very credible. Maybe you'll find Ford incredible. Why ask for action before due process?
First of all, it's not due process. Again, that's a legal standard. This is just a hearing. But I've heard from both sides already. I've heard from Judge Kavanaugh. I heard him on Fox News saying that this is all not true and that he was spending time with friends and studying and going to church in high school. We have a very different story from many corroborating witnesses.
Last question. Are you open to changing your mind?
Based on everything I've heard to date, no. And before these allegations came to light, I thought Judge Kavanaugh's record was disqualifying. His view on women's rights, the fact that he doesn't see women's reproductive freedom anywhere in the Constitution, the fact that he believes insurers have more free speech rights than you and I. If you have a pre-existing condition, they should be able to charge you whatever they want. The fact that he believes my boss should decide whether I have access to contraception. All of those things to me are disqualifying because his views are so far outside the mainstream, so conservative, that I can't imagine him being a force for good on the court, and I can't imagine him actually having the kind of judicial character that is necessary to be a justice on the Supreme Court. Then you just add to that all these allegations. So no, whatever he says tomorrow, it will not change my view. And I've already read Dr. Blasey Ford's testimony, and I believe her.
So you see how this works. And she sounded just like Mazie Hirono, which we played the clip of her yesterday, senator from Hawaii, who's been driving a lot of this in the Senate, talking about that she was asked by, I think she was on two different shows, so I get them confused. One was MSNBC, and I think one was CNN. If Judge Kavanaugh then did not deserve the presumption of innocence, and she said basically same thing that, this is the party line. Kristen Gillibrand said, this isn't a court of law. So in other words, in this hearing, we presume him guilty, which is not the way we operate officially anywhere in this country. Maybe in gossip among little girlfriends or, you know, careless speaking. But in general, we do not really want someone to be accused and guilty based on what someone else just simply says. You can say anything. So Kristen Gillibrand and Mazie Hirono both give us their reasons, the fact that, you know, Judge Kavanaugh is just too conservative. He might overturn Roe versus Wade, and he doesn't want to propagate Obamacare, at least that's what they're saying. And so he doesn't deserve the presumption of innocence. That's basically what they're saying. Now, I've told you repeatedly, and I will say again, because you need to understand this, that Senator Jeff Flake from Arizona, who hates President Trump. He's been very clear about it. I wish we'd had time to pull out some of his old clips. He's always filled with venom. He does every kind of harmful thing, public statement he can to hurt President Trump. And he was pretty gleeful about it. He joined John McCain and knew that they were a partnership. In fact, John McCain handpicked Jeff Flake for the Senate in Arizona. So Jeff Flake has done his part. After the death of John McCain, he's still doing his part. And so he is on the Judiciary Committee. The Judiciary Committee needs Jeff Flake's vote to get Brett Kavanaugh out of that committee and onto the floor for a vote for all of the Senate. By the way, if it goes the way that Republican leadership hope it goes, there will be a vote on Friday by the committee, and there will be a vote by the full Senate Tuesday around 7 o'clock in the evening. So I'm just telling you, unless something horrible happens today, unlike what Kristen Gillibrand said, no one has come forward to say Brett Kavanaugh was a drunken, out-of-control sexual maniac. No one has verified that. It's just these women. Even their friends don't verify it. In fact, in the case of Christine Ford, even her family did not sign a letter that was sent out. It had a lot of signatures. Her husband's family signed it, but her own family, brothers and sisters, mom and dad, did not sign a letter endorsing what she's saying that they believe her. So that's pretty telling, I think. Of course, your family can be at odds with you, you know, but it's still a hint. It's a sign. It's an insight. So Jeff Flake went on the Senate floor yesterday, made a big deal about making some statement. And so I, of course, had to listen because I love torture. I'm sorry. I'm setting this up maybe the wrong way. You should be objective. Here's what Senator Jeff Flake said yesterday on the Senate floor.
We have lit a match, my colleagues. The question is, do we appreciate how close the powder keg is? Now, tomorrow we will have a hearing. Many members of this body from both parties have already made up their minds on the record in advance of the hearing. They will presumably hear what they want to hear and disregard the rest. One is tempted to ask, why even bother having a hearing? I do not know how I will assess the credibility of these witnesses, these human beings, on the grave matters that will be testified to, because I've not yet heard a word of their testimony. What I do know is that I don't believe that Dr. Ford is part of some vast conspiracy from start to finish to smear Judge Kavanaugh, as has been alleged by some on the right. And I do know that I do not believe that Judge Kavanaugh is some kind of serial sexual predator, as some have alleged on the left. I do not believe that the claim of sexual assault is invalid because a 15-year-old girl didn't promptly report the assault to authorities, as the President of the United States said just 2 days ago. How uninformed and uncaring do we have to be to say things like that, much less believe them? Do we have any idea what kind of message that sends, especially to young women? How many times do we have to marginalize and ignore women before we learn that important lesson? Up or down, yes or no, however this vote goes, I'm confident in saying that it will forever be steeped in doubt. This doubt is the only thing of which I am confident about this process.
Is that all he said? I thought he said more than that, but that was enough. And I think, how do you take that? What is he trying to say? I don't think that Jeff Flake would hesitate to bring Brett Kavanaugh down if it would hurt President Trump. I just don't, because I've seen him do things just like this. Jeff Flake is no conservative. He just isn't. He acts like he's won. He talks like he's won when he's running for office, which is what John McCain did. And then he hurtles to the left. I don't think he's trustworthy. So I guess the question is he preparing us to try to lay out sort of a reasoned approach to this, sort of covering himself before he votes against Judge Kavanaugh? Some think that he's doing the opposite, that he's trying to cover himself before he votes for Judge Kavanaugh. If I put my money on it, I would say Jeff Flake is going to vote against. But I don't know. I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong about that. I just don't trust him. At the same time, I know people have made up their minds. So is the president. He's very skeptical. I'm too, because I just am a common sense person. I can't be forced to say something I don't believe. I don't think these accusations are valid. I don't think there are not people corroborating any of them. In fact, quite the opposite. They may sign letters and say, I believe her, but that's not good enough. We have to have people that actually saw or knew about these incidences. And so far, we don't have that in any of these. And we have people representing these women who are just bizarre, like Deborah Katz. And there are other attorneys whose names I can't remember, but they are affiliated with the far-left radical movement. So if Jeff Flake thinks that there's no conspiracy here, then he's he thinks differently than I do, because I see it. And I think President Trump's right. When they're behind closed doors, they're laughing their socks off at how they've played Chairman Grassley and the Republicans. But we'll see. Chuck Grassley, Mitch McConnell, they're not dumb people. They're not. It's just that for whatever reason, they have just sort of buried their heads about what's happening in the country and how far to the left we've moved and how willing to do anything the left is. Maybe this is a wake-up call, and maybe they will fly their colors today and rise up to this and actually use their abilities and minds in a good way. This is Sandy Rios in the morning. Don't forget to pray.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.